So perhaps you've been watching this little video that we're not going to play today all of these weeks over the summer, and you've seen these two letters pop up, and maybe you thought, why are we preaching about Al? That is not what we're talking about today. AI, you guys voted for it, so we're going to talk about it. So Andon Labs is this organization that is a AI research, development, and sort of safety organization. And so they try to run these tests, and they want to know how good are these AI things that we are coming up with these days. And so they did a number of different things. Most recently, they said, let's open a cafe in Stockholm and have it run by an AI. So they named the AI Mona. Don't know why. And they told Mona, okay, here's your storefront you're going to use. Your job is to make a profit, but you also have to hire employees, get contracts with vendors, do all sorts of other things. So they put a job ad. So Mona wrote a job ad, posted it in all the job places there in Sweden, and people knew what they were getting themselves into. So it wasn't like, surprise, your boss is a robot. People knew what they were getting themselves into. And so, but they kind of thought it would be a fun thing to get into. Just like, well, let's just see what happens here if we have an AI boss. So sure enough, first thing any hiring manager has to do is weed out all the resumes. And so Mona kicked out all the PhDs and said, who cares about education? I want real world cafe experience. That makes sense. And then the whole hiring process got the whole team ready. Those of you who are familiar with it, they use this program called Slack to communicate. This is the most encouraging boss you'll ever have. Like Mona would write stuff like, you guys are the goats of cafe employees. That was for the like youngest in the room got that joke. But that's, it really would do that. And then they quickly discovered, which they sort of already knew, that these AI models are not ready to replace humans yet. Because they can't reason, and they also can't think back that far either. So Mona wouldn't know necessarily how many things it had ordered in the past. So one day it said, oh, you know what? We need those little rubber gloves, you know, for food safety. So I'm going to order 3,000 of them, which is unnecessary. And then the employees then reported to Mona one day, hey, we don't have enough stuff for the bakery. They like serve baked goods. And this, oh, so then the next day they got way too much bakery things. And the next week they were out of bakery stuff altogether. Then one time the employee said, hey, Mona, our tomatoes that we use to slice to make the sandwiches, some of the tomatoes are going bad before we can use them. So again, a human would say, we just need to order less tomatoes. Not Mona. She thought, well, what wouldn't go bad? Canned tomatoes, which don't go that good on sandwiches, as it turns out. So then the employees, they actually made what they called the wall of shame. And all of the random strange things that Mona would order, they would just put it up there. Could you imagine if you're an employer and your employees just like publicly shamed you every single day? Like, but they're not going to get fired. In fact, Mona is still super encouraging to them this whole time. And now, when I was first looking this up, about 90 days old, but now it's about 4 months old, and the bank balance is reducing every month. So it's not running so well. But again, this is just an experiment. The first experiment this same place did was to make they put a vending machine in an office, and they just told it, make money. And employees in the office were able to suggest like, ooh, I want Cheetos or I want Doritos. And then employees started messing with it. And now the vending machine only sells $500 tungsten cubes. Again, humans aren't going to make those decisions. So this series is called Ask Anything. So if you remember here last spring, if you were here, we put a bunch of papers out here and we said, circle ones that you want to know about. And enough of you circled this that we decided to pick it. And then Paul said, I ain't touching that. I'm going on vacation. You've got it. So buckle up. I'm going to try to do two things today. One is to guess why on earth you would have picked this. Because some of you probably had really legitimate reasons. And also try to figure out what the Bible says about AI. And I was joking with a couple people this morning that Ai is a city that Joshua defeated. And so Ai is in the Bible, but we're not going to talk about that today. All right, so I want to start by actually doing a little informal survey. I want to get your opinions, where you stand right now on some of these things. You're not allowed to cheat. Don't ask your neighbors, husbands. Don't ask your wives. This is your opinions. And all you have to do is, if you say, yes, I would be okay with this, raise your hand. So if no is your answer, keep your hand in your lap. But if yes is your answer, raise your hand. All right, would you be okay? These are sort of like some of the ethical questions that we need to start answering when it comes to the future of technology. Would you be okay if you used AI to fabricate an important email? A couple of you are. My wife and I did this spring, and it was really actually a really benefit. She had a very serious email to send to somebody, and it really helped a lot. All right, would you be okay? Would you be okay? Only a couple of you raised. I thought it would be a lot more than that. Would you be okay if someone sent you an AI-generated reply to a really important email? One person. Okay. Oh, people are saying, okay, we'll hit that. All right. Would you be okay? I expect very few people to raise their hand for this one. Would you be okay is if you are an employee, which probably most of you are employees, if you got fired from your job because, well, AI can do your job. Ah, one person's okay with that. I want to point out that pretty much every job we know is in danger of being replaced by a robot. Like, I'm standing here talking to you about the Bible. We can train a robot to learn the Bible really, really well and to make a sermon. And eventually we can have a robot that actually has really human... So you could stand here and listen to robot preachers one day. Not tomorrow, but, you know. All right, so then the inverse of that, imagine that you are the boss, you are the employer, would you be okay firing employees because, well, AI can do their job a lot cheaper? Couple people, so they're okay with that. All right. All right, how about imagine if you're a student, some of you are students, but imagine if you're a student and would you be okay using AI to help your homework? All right, we got some more people going with that one. All right, now the other of that, if you're a teacher, would you be okay if your students turned in homework that was helped by AI? Oh, no one was okay. Well, one had like one teacher that was okay with that. All right. How about if your boss required you to use AI for your job? Not said, well, you can use it, but said you have to use it. Would you be okay if your boss said you have to use AI for your job? All right, that one's not so bad. All right, would you be okay if your pastor used AI to write his sermon? Like, wrote it. I did not do that today. Would you be okay with that? A couple people would be okay. I will tell you that I did ask an AI chatbot for some articles. I said, I need some articles about like Christian responses to AI and modern technology. And it gave me a number of good articles, and then I couldn't find them on the internet. And I went back to the chatbot and I said, hey, I can't find these articles. And it said, oh, I just made those up. And I was like, well, that's not helpful. And then it said, would you like me not to make things up anymore? And I said, yes, don't make things up anymore. All right, now we're gonna get a little bit more serious. Would you be okay if AI was making wartime decisions? Whoa. Anyone see that movie War Games from the 80s? I love that movie. But that was like, AI is not new, guys. This was a long time ago. We were doing these things. How about, this is really in the news right now. Would you be okay if AI was monitoring cameras put up all over the area? Ooh, yeah. All right. How about using an AI chatbot as a replacement for a therapist? It's happening like crazy right now. It's happening like crazy right now. How about if an AI robot was your maid or your mechanic? All right, yeah, that one's. I just saw this on Friday. A company in California, you can now rent an AI robot to come clean your house for $30 an hour, but they said it doesn't do as good of a job as a human. All right, how about if AI was your boss, like we just read at the beginning, like would you be okay to have an AI as your boss? Or how about like a politician AI? I don't know, might make better decisions than some of the politicians. Okay. So we got to answer some questions in light of all of this modern technology. That was interesting just to see people's thoughts. But now we know how everyone thinks about our upcoming robot overlords, which we're totally okay with, by the way. We just got to be sure. So we have to answer some really important questions. What does it mean to be human in light of new technology? What roles do we let technology shape our lives? How can these things be used for good? And most importantly, I think, what should Christians do in an increasingly depersonal and dehumanizing world? If you weren't here last week, you go back and watch Pastor Ty's sermon from last week. I'm going to hit on a couple of the things, but go back and listen to some of the things he had to say, because he talked a lot about the image of God, and I want to reiterate a few of those things. See, throughout history, we've had various views about what it means to be made in the image of God. He read from Genesis chapter 1, God made man in his own image. But there's a couple of views that people have held to, which is not the view that Pastor Ty talked about last week. One of them is that the image of God is simply just the human ability to reason. And as we already pointed out, you know, having a human boss can reason and buy real tomatoes instead of canned tomatoes. And our ability to reason does separate us from the rest of creation. No other created being has the ability to reason in the way that humans can. But we can't, that view of the image of God is not sufficient enough. It's not big enough. And it also sort of boils God down to this cosmic rational being, which he is so much more than that. A second view that people have talked about said, well, the image of God is our ability for relationship. And this starts from a really good place too, because God in the Trinity is in this eternal relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he created us so that we would be in relationship with him and we would be in relationship with each other. And sure, animals can relate to one another and they can even relate to humans, but not in the same ways. You're not going to go to a lecture taught by a dog. You know, there's a lot of things that we get to do human-wise relationally that we are, again, the only created beings that can do. But neither of these things are sufficient when we talk about the image of God. In fact, if we're talking about in light of artificial intelligence is coming out, the ability to reason, we're not that far away from the robot buying actual tomatoes. And when it comes to relationships, I mean, there are people that are substituting romantic relationships with chatbots these days. And they're like, well, that robot gets me. Well, it's programmed to tell you nice things. That's all it is. And both of those two attributes of humans are going to be mimicked more and more and more artificially. So it's important for us to have a very high view of humanity as technology changes the way the world defines us. So God is not simply, the image of God is not simply just an attribute that we humans have. Remember from last week, Pastor Ty talked about, it's this royal title we get from God that God gave to humans and only humans. We have a quote here. This is theologian Michael Byrd. And he says this status, this image of God, this status is a gift given to humanity from which springs a vocation to represent God to the world. The imago Dei, image of God, is more of an identity. It's a God-given foundational reality out of which we understand ourselves as belonging to God, and we are distinguished from the rest of the created order. God is a generous creator who adopts humanity as royal children and invites them to participate in his reign over the world. So we have this generous creator, and he invites us to be creators as well. And we take part in his reign over the world. So Genesis 1:28, God blesses humans and says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, we have a lot of room left, and subdue it. And we are subduing it, sometimes in good ways, sometimes in not so good ways. You were created in the image of God, and you were created to display the glory of God. But something happened. Humans picked themselves over God. And we lost the glory of God. And the whole Old Testament is the Israelites trying to deal with the glory of God. Are we going to carry it around in the tabernacle? Are we going to have it in the temple? And then Jesus shows up and says, I'm bringing my glory back to humanity. And I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit so you can carry my glory around with you everywhere you go. But then again, going back to the beginning of the story, Adam and Eve sin, the earth is cursed, We're now fallen and broken. We all have this sin nature. And it's led to millennia after millennia of death and destruction. So God looks at all the people living there and he says, this is bad shape. We need to start over. So he calls Noah. Noah builds an ark. God floods the earth. Then shortly after, the waters recede. Noah and his family exit. The animals come out. And then God tells him again, fill the earth and subdue it. But then we come to Genesis chapter 11. You would, if your Bible, you can turn to chapter 11 in Genesis. Genesis chapter 11. This is the next part of the story. So the whole earth had the same language and the same vocabulary, literally the same lip. They had the same lip. So as people migrated from the east, they found a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. Now this was probably like the most fertile, most comfortable place that they could find. And they said to each other, come and let us make oven-fired bricks. They used bricks for stone and asphalt for mortar. Now today's talk is about technology. Well, this was the technological revolution at the time. These bricks, these oven-fired bricks, this was like world-transforming, people-empowering technological revolution. And so that led them to be able to say this, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky. Now for them, the sky would be where heaven and earth met. And they're like, we got to get up to God. We got to show everyone how great we are. Let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be what? Scattered throughout the earth. What was God's command? Go, fill the earth. And they said, no, we got to make a name for ourselves here. Then the Lord came down to look over the city and the tower the humans were building. And he said, if they have begun to do this as one people, all having the same language, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down there and confuse their speech so that they will not understand one another's speech. So from there, the Lord scattered them throughout the earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, it is called Babylon. The Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there, the Lord scattered them throughout the earth. All right, so three brief points from this passage. But we're also going to see that this passage is a mirror of the creation story. So point number one, God created us to create. God created us to create. So these people created these new oven-fired bricks. And we saw in Genesis 1 that as ambassadors, God's ambassadors on the earth, that he wanted us to continue his created work. So here they are, they're saying, okay, this is what God wants us to do. We are going to create. Now, what's interesting is on days 1 through 5 of creation, God created all of the things except for land animals, but all the things that we use to make stuff was made on days 1 through 5. So all the materials that they would need hundreds of years after creation to make these bricks, God already put in the ground. Every bit of technology that we've ever known or discovered, God spoke into existence in days 1 through 5. So just think about this for a minute. So wood, God made trees, and he said, okay, they're going to use this wood. They're going to make fires to cook their food and to keep warm. And they're going to build buildings with wooden structures. And they're going to grind up the wood from this tree, and they're going to make paper so they can disseminate information. I almost picture, you know, God making a beach and going, sand is nice. One day they're going to make windows out of it. And then they're going to make microchips out of it. God buries lithium deep in the ground and says, someday they're going to power a car with that rock. They're going to be like, this is awesome. Or God puts helium out. And he says, imagine the parties they're going to have when they put this into balloons. And then they're going to go, yeah, and now we're going to have really fun with helium. All of that happened on days 1 through 5. So here we have oven-fired bricks. Now, we can all agree that Good building materials are a great technological advancement. And this changed the world. Plenty of technologies have changed the world. The printing press, the assembly line, the computer, the smartphone. Imagine the world without the printing press. The way that we've been able to disseminate information over the last 500 years, people could never have even imagined it before then. Jesus told the disciples to go and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have an airplane. We can get to the ends of the earth in hours, anywhere in the world. We can pick up a phone or go on our computer and we can communicate with every bit of the world in a second now. We have the ability to send the message of God throughout the world like no generation ever has. And now we've got this AI thing. AI has been helping to spread the translation of the Bible. There are still over 500 languages that don't have the entire Word of God. Don't have any of the Word of God in it. And hundreds more that only have parts of it. And all of a sudden, we have a technology now that can help accelerate that and get more and more people the Word of God. God intended us to create for human flourishing and for His glory. But after the deceit of a serpent, everything went wrong. So my second point, I wrote it down and I said, well, this is the most obvious point in the history of points. And that is humans use these creations for evil. Here they say, let us make a tower and we'll make a name for ourselves. We'll make a name for ourselves. Another call back to the garden. This is the serpent saying, did God really say? Did he really say? God walked with man in the garden. And he doesn't dwell with the people anymore. Maybe if we build a tower to the heavens, maybe we can get close to God. Maybe we can be like God. Sound familiar? There's nothing wrong with bricks. Nothing wrong with bricks. But when the brick becomes the means that we use to attempt to be God instead of serve Him, then we've swapped our identity as image bearers for a lie, for the lie. Did God really say? Did God really say if you do that, that you'll die, that you'll surely die? He just doesn't want you to be like Him. AI has been in the news a lot lately, but it's been around a long, long time. Probably one of the most powerful little AIs that have been affecting many of your lives, you might not have even known it, is the little AI that has been driving content to your phone since the day that you picked it up. Every time that you pull up Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or YouTube or TikTok, there's a little robot watching what you do and saying, oh, they like that. Let's show them more of that. Because they make more money the longer you're there. Oh, that made them really mad. Let's show them a lot of that. They found out that things that make you mad make you stay. They make you stay. And so now we've got devices that are driving people apart. Because like, oh, all these things make me mad. And now we have to fight about everything. This is the place where technology is most evil. Where it dehumanizes people. We made the printing press so we can disseminate information all over the world. We used it to print the Bible. And then we use it to spread lies and gossip and slander. We split the atom so we could bring cheap, clean energy to the world and then use it to blow up the same world. We built computers to help people work faster and better. And then these computers take people's jobs. And they turn us into angry doom scrollers. We built cameras so we can capture moments and make memories and art and bring stories to life that captivate us. And then we use them to make pornography, which dehumanizes not just the people in the images, but those people that are also watching them. The people here of Babylon, they forgot whose they were. They forgot the essence of being human, being royal image bearers of the Creator. And they threw it all away just to make a name for themselves. Number three, God's will always be done. We see God comes down to the city, and he knows this project has turned into a human glory situation, and they've forgotten who they are. So he says, let's confuse their language and scatter them throughout the earth. Remember, Adam and Eve were given the tree of life. And God said, "This is if you eat this, you will live forever. This is what will bind you to this garden and to me." The people of Babylon had language. And this is what was binding them all together, keeping them close, keeping them moving in the same direction. And God came and took that away. No, we're going to confuse all your languages. And then he said, I told you I wanted you to fill the earth. And so he scattered them. They were not living for God's glory. They were not obeying God's commands. And God confused them and scattered them that his will might be done on earth, not the will of man. The entire foundation of this city of Babylon was built on twisted human desire and not the will of God. And by the will of God, I don't mean what we always talk about when we talk about, I'm looking for the will of God for my life. You ever said that? Like, who should I marry? Where should I go to college? What job should I have? Like, that's we always have that conversation. What's the will of God? What's the will of God? By this, I mean, this is the direction that God is headed for everything in all of history. And his will always be done. Now, I'm guessing that a few of you probably voted for AI as the topic because you're scared. Maybe not all of you. Some of you are probably just interested and like, okay, what are we going to say about this? Now you're going, I still don't know what he's going to say about this. But a few of you may have been scared. Maybe scared to lose your job. Maybe scared that you just can't keep up with technology. It's moving too fast. Maybe scared that the robots really will take over someday. Oh, yeah. And we're okay with that. There are people that are leading this AI revolution. And if you're at all scared, don't look into any of this. But there are people that are leading this AI revolution that honestly believe that we are being God right now. That we are creating our successors on this planet. And that one day, we will peacefully hand over the world to the robots, and humans will die out, and evolution will take over as the robots are the next successors on the planet. And it's interesting when you listen to these people because they don't sound like supervillains. They don't have some sort of weird supervillain complex. They just sound like normal people that are going, oh, yeah, this is just how it's going to be. But that can't be the will of God, right? As followers of Christ, we don't know the entire will of God, but we do know from this book that we're his plan. Humans are his plan. Jesus did not die that someday we would just give up the world to the robot. He died for you. He died for all humanity. And he wants us to flourish here on this world, living for him and his glory, and we're just waiting for him to come back, waiting for his kingdom. And nothing man can do will alter God's will. All right, three brief points of application. Point number one, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. This is a command in Scripture. This is a command all through Scripture. Do not be afraid. It's a really, really hard command to obey for a lot of reasons, not just in this weird technology world we live in. God cares for the lilies. He feeds the sparrows. How much more is he going to take care of his precious image bearers? One of the things the Bible always asks us to do is remember. Remember, 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 especially in the Old Testament. And I found if you are worried about the future, if you remember the past, you can usually see God's hand. And you can go, oh, he has taken care of me there, 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 and there. I don't have to worry about what's coming next. Number two, do not let the world define what God has already defined. We live in this enlightenment-influenced, materialistic, modern world where humans have just been reduced to just a chemical structure. Our emotions are just neurological signals firing back and forth in our brain, and we have a non-existent purpose for our life. Take technology out of it completely, and that is still the culture that we live in. And our technological world is just going to continue to challenge God's definition of humanity. And we cannot let it. In a similar vein, we also need to continue to fight for human and human-to-human connection. We already have too many human screen-to-human connections, but we need to continue to fight for human relationships. We should not be replacing our interactions with humans with non-humans. Again, these are good tools. These are tools. You can use them however you need to use them in your life. But they are just tools. They're not meant to replace relationships that God has given us. That's one of the reasons that we gather here each week, because we need to see each other. We need to be in relationship with one another to encourage each other, to help each other move closer to God. ChatGPT cannot replace any form of relationship. So if you find yourself going to an AI for companionship or substituting any other human relationship, log off, delete the app, and find a person. This is how you were designed. Christians need to have the highest view of humanity, because God does. We're also pro-life, and we stand against things like euthanasia and assisted suicide for this very reason. We have the highest view of humanity, and we cannot and we will not allow the world to diminish God's very good created image bearers. Lastly, don't forget the end of the story. We talked a lot about the beginning of the story. God created all things, made his humans image bearers, and then we quickly went astray and we said, God, we know you did really good work here, but I think we can do it better. And we're still doing that today. And then God sends his son. And he was like, let me show you what I meant your life to be. Let me show you how I meant for you to be in relationship with one another and in relationship with God. And then, because I know you still can't follow my example, I'm just going to die for you. I'm just going to die for you so I can fix the relationship between you and God. And we know what happened next. He rose again. And now we're sitting here waiting for his return as we live life in light of Jesus' sacrifice and his resurrection. And we have hope for the future. And that end draws nearer and nearer every moment. Humanity is God's plan for creation. There is not a plan B. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back to live and reign with his image bearers. We're designed to live in relationship with God. As royal image bearers and priests of God, we are made to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To close up, this is the future. Can we stand as we hear? This is from Psalm 86. This is what is coming. Eternal worship of God. Forever and ever. Lord, there is no one like you among the gods, and there are no works like yours. All the nations you have made will come and will bow down. They'll bow down before you, Lord, and will honor your name, for you are great, and perform wonders. You alone are God. Lord God, we thank you that you have made us in your image, that you have given us this incredible royal status as your image bearers and ambassadors here on the earth. And we thank you that you've given us creative minds to create and invent. And I pray that we would remember that you hold the future. That you hold the future. And in the midst of a world that says that humans are less than what you have created them to be, that we would always remember that we are yours forever and ever. Amen.